We will begin the worship of God this evening by singing hymn 1132 to the tune Hull, number 714, where two or three together meet, my love and mercy to repeat, and tell what I have done. There will I be, says God, to bless, and every burdened soul redress, who worships at my throne. Hymn 1132. Holy Word of God, we'll read together the Gospel according to John in chapter 12. The Gospel according to John chapter 12, and we'll read from the beginning to the end of verse 38. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon. As it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth for ever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? And we will leave the reading of the Word of God there, and may God bless it to us and teach us how to pray. Kind and gracious and most merciful Lord, we come before thee once again this Lord's Day, as we gather round thy word this evening. We pray that thou wilt be pleased to gather with us, that thy presence and thy blessing might rest upon the service here this evening. Do help us, Lord, in our worship. Draw from us, Lord, a spirit of real worship and praise, that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth. Do deliver us, Lord, from the busyness of our minds. Lord, deliver us from the evil that abounds. Deliver us, Lord, from the sinfulness of our own hearts. And grant us, Lord, that we may, in our desires, in our thoughts, our affections, be drawn unto thyself. Draw us away from the busyness of our thoughts, the multitude of them. Lord, thou knowest how We at times have busy minds and many thoughts. And Lord, we pray that thou would help us and clear our minds of anything unnecessary. Lord, may the things of tomorrow be left to one side. May, Lord, our thoughts be taken up with thee. We ask, Lord, that thou go before us each. And, Lord, we ask that thou remember us in all our need. And Lord, thou seest the need of each who gather here and those unable to be here this evening. The aged friend, the other one, Lord, in hospital, our friend, the deacon here, we commend him, commit him into thy gracious hand. We pray that thou be with him and strengthen and bless that which has been done. Grant, Lord, that his recovery might be swift and full. And we pray, Lord, that thou meet with him and bless him in this time that he is laid aside. Lord, all our times are in thy hand, and we thank thee and praise thee that they are. But help us to truly understand these things, and grant us each that grace we need to submit ourselves unto thy will and thy way. Lord, we ask that thou would help us each and teach us and lead us in that right way. We pray, Lord, that thou would keep us from a questioning mind. May we, Lord, leave all of thy dealings with thee, for thou wilt, Lord, interpret all that we need to know in due time. Lord, we do pray for this church and congregation. We pray, Lord, that thou remember them and bless them and be with them, guide and direct them. We pray, Lord, that thou supply their need. Lord, as the deacon is laid aside, may, Lord, there be that provision for them. And we ask, Lord, that thou bless thy word and the preaching of thy word here among them. And may the power of thy spirit attend the word. And may thy word be used and applied by thee. And Lord, we ask that thou follow with thy blessing, that there may be the signs following, that thy name might be glorified. Lord, we pray that thou wilt help each in their individual circumstances. Lord, each heart knows its own bitterness. Each heart, Lord, knows those things that are weighing upon them. We think of the children and the young people, and Lord, we think of the difficulty of the day they are being brought up in. We pray that thou would encourage them and help them, and may they, Lord, be brought to put their trust in thee, to look entirely unto thee. For Lord, thou hast chosen us to live and called us to live in this day and generation. And we pray that we may be given that help day by day, to help the children to mingle with their friends at school and college and at work. Help them to do those things which are right in thy sight. Help them to witness a good witness. Help them to stand firm for what they believe to be the truth. Lord, we pray that thou keep them from all the evil and all the influences. We ask, Lord, that thou would influence them for good, thy Spirit dwelling in their hearts. We pray, Lord, that thou'lt incline their hearts to good things and give them, we pray, that love, that reverence, that godly fear. We pray, Lord, the gift of faith might be given. And though some things that they hear and read in thy word may at first not seem clear or plain to them, yet we pray that thou'lt open up their understanding and grant them a childlike faith, that they may receive thy word. Oh, we ask, Lord, that thou'd help us each and grant each, whether young or old, to receive thy word, and may we truly profit from it. We pray, Lord, that thou'd help our older friends with bringing up children, bearing the heat and the burden of the day with the many pressures and concerns there are. Lord, there are those cares of children and maybe older relatives and the work life and the many matters that must be attended to. And in all these things, Lord, we pray that thou will grant them strength and grace equal to each day. Those, Lord, looking for direction, we pray that thou will grant it, that right doors may be opened and any wrong doors shut, that wrong steps might be not taken, that thou would hedge about our way and guide us and direct us in that right way. Oh, may we hear that voice behind saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Lord, deliver us from our own mind, our own wisdom. Lord, we lack wisdom. Lord, we're blind at times and we cannot see the many things that we stand in need of. Lord, by nature we have proud hearts and we are self-sufficient. But Lord, may we see that we stand in need of so much. Do open up our eyes. And Lord, do work in our hearts. Lord, we pray that thou begin where thou hast yet to begin. Where thou hast begun, we pray, continue that work. And Lord, do bless and be with the congregation and gather into the church here, we pray. And grant that gospel liberty, that freedom of the children of God. Oh Lord, we ask that thou grant that a sense of pardoned sin and that peace which passeth all understanding. And grant, Lord, that the love of Christ might constrain. And there may be those desiring to take up their cross and to follow thee. They're not ashamed of Jesus, but putting on an open profession to walk in thy ways. Lord, we ask that thou remember the church of God in the day we live. We pray, Lord, for those organizations that seek to do good and to meet the needs of thy suffering people. We pray, Lord, that thou be with those organizations that would bring thy truth to far off parts of the world. We pray, bless the distribution of thy word in various languages throughout the earth. And Lord, may thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Remember our King in his affliction, Princess Catherine, the royal household at this time. Remember our Prime Minister, the government, Parliament, those in the positions of authority. Lord, we pray that thou prevent those wrong laws being brought in on our statute book, that thou wilt turn the tide of sin in our land, that there may be, Lord, the repeal of wrong laws, and that, Lord, may we be brought into better days as a nation. Lord, we pray thy light and truth to go forth in this nation. Oh, we ask, Lord, that thou bless the preaching of thy word up and down this land. We ask, Lord, that thou gather into the churches, gather into this chapel here, we pray. We ask, Lord, that thou remember this town and this surrounding area. And Lord, many souls in this locality. And Lord, we pray that there may be many who are numbered among thy children, thy dead elect. May they be quickened, awakened, brought into this place. And Lord, we ask that thou glorify thyself in the bringing forth of children. May thy church travail and wrestle in prayer. And may that labouring and bringing forth of children. And we ask, Lord, that thou remember us in all our need. Except the Lord build a house, they labour in vain at build it. We look to thee, Lord, to add those stones into thy living building. Add such as should be saved to the church of God here. And do remember all our need. Lord, we look to thee. To whom else can we go? We have no help, no hope in other. It is Jesus and him alone. And we pray that we may be brought to shelter beneath that precious blood, as the Israelite of old on the Passover night. And that promise, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh Lord, do deliver us each from our sin. Save us with that everlasting salvation. Bring us this Easter time to think on thy sufferings, Lord Jesus. May it please thee to reveal to us each that all these things were done for you. And pray, Lord, that thou confirm us and bless us indeed. Oh, that we may find our life through the death of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Oh, we ask, Lord, that thou would help us to go on to that empty tomb. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Oh, we worship a risen, now exalted Saviour, sitting at the Father's right hand. Oh, do, Lord, grant us each that sweet persuasion that thou art our friend, our Saviour. Do forgive all our many sins. Pardon anything amiss in our worship. And take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. We ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen. We will continue by singing hymn 339. And the tune is Adoration 528. O my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears. But greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon me shine? Then Jesus is forever mine. Hymn 339. Will you turn with me to the text this morning? That is Psalm number 72. And with the Lord's help, this evening I'll speak again from verse 15. So the book of Psalms, number 72, and verse 15. And he shall live, and to him shall be given the given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. The book of Psalms, number 72, and verse 15. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. And this morning we spoke in our thoughts and our considerations of the poor and the needy mentioned in this psalm. And we considered how this psalm was the prayer, the psalm of David for his son Solomon, and how Solomon was a type of our Lord Jesus in his wisdom and his glorious majesty as king in his day and generation. And this evening, it is in that context, not in reference to Solomon, but in its fuller sense, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall live. Now there is a precious truth set before us in this opening part of this verse. And he shall live. We had in our reading part of the account of the life of our Lord Jesus. And today, the Christian calendar marks this day, this Lord's Day, the Lord's Day before Easter Sunday, as Palm Sunday. And in our reading this evening, in John chapter 12, we had that mention of that triumphal entrance into Jerusalem of our Lord Jesus Christ. How he had ridden on the ass, the colt of an ass, into Jerusalem, and how they had taken those palms and strewed them in the way and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." It was a glorious entrance. It was according to that which was prophesied. It was in fulfillment of that prophecy in Zechariah. And those words, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." And you know, friends, the Lord Jesus had performed in the days coming up to this most triumphant entrance into Jerusalem, he had performed a wonderful miracle. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. And you know, that had been a wonderful display of the power of God, the sonship of our Lord Jesus Christ, his power to call a dead man out of the grave and restore him to life. And it had had an effect. It had split opinion. There were those that had received that living testimony of Lazarus, had known that he had been dead 4 days and now was alive. There had been those that were brought to truly see the Lord Jesus and glorify in his power and in his wonderful miracle of restoration and resurrection of Lazarus. And there were others then, on the other hand, that hated him more, despised him more. And we read they wanted Lazarus dead as well as the Lord Jesus. They hated the witness, Lazarus' witness. We're told it had an effect. And it was this raising of Lazarus which also had brought this glorious entrance into Jerusalem of our Lord Jesus Christ. They had heard that Jesus was coming. Jesus who had performed this wonderful miracle. You know, thinking of Lazarus, thinking of our text this evening, and he shall live. You know, you think of Lazarus, he was dead. And in that account, in the previous chapter, chapter 11, we have it. Lazarus, we're told that Lazarus' sickness was made known. They came and told Jesus, and he delayed his going to Lazarus. We're told that when he was sick, he heard he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. You know, it is at times a mystery, the Lord's dealings, isn't it? We ask for something, we ask for his help, we ask for his presence maybe. We feel we need him to do something for us. We need him to appear for us in some way. And there's a delay in his appearing. There's a delay in his answering. And, you know, at times it can be a trouble to us. It was a trouble to them. They didn't understand it. But it was for the honour and glory of God. And such is the sympathising heart of Jesus, that should he have gone there, he would have been moved with compassion. He would have looked upon the affliction of Lazarus. He would have seen the sadness and the sorrow. He would have been moved to healing him. But he says, he says, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And then he goes on to say, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And he does go. And he meets first with Martha. And Martha. Oh, she comes and she says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She knew it. She absolutely knew it. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But listen to what she goes on to say. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. That's faith, isn't it? Oh, what faith Martha had. And the Lord Jesus goes on to say, "Thy brother shall rise again." And she says, "I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last." She had a good hope through grace of her brother, his standing in Christ Jesus, persuaded that he would rise again among the just at that great day. But Jesus says unto her, and this is it for you and I this evening, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And he shall live. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And she says, "Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And the Lord Jesus, he calls Lazarus forth. He raises Lazarus from the dead. And where there was death, that there is now life. The power of God is made known. And the calling forth of Lazarus from the dead. That stone is rolled away, and he is called forth by the power of the voice of the Son of God. And he that was dead came forth. We're told, "He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And Jesus saith unto him, loose him, and let him go." And what a witness there was! What a living testimony Lazarus was. The power of God. Well, friends, what does it mean for you and I this evening? The Lord Jesus, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Oh, do we believe it? Do we believe that he has power to raise from the dead those that are dead in sin, to be raised to life everlasting? No, do you believe he's able to raise you up from the place where you are at present, maybe? Those of you that feel to be plagued with your sin, with unbelief, with guilt, do you believe the Lord is able, with the power of his voice, to turn your darkness into light, your sorrow into joy? Friends, he is that life. He is the life and the light of his people. I mentioned this morning that the words of our Lord Jesus to his disciples, "Because I live, ye shall live also," but soon he would die. What would their hopes die with him? What did he mean if he says, "Because I live, ye shall live also"? And then not long afterwards, to be nailed to the cross, to suffer, bleed and die? Did their hopes die with him? Friends, we have something before us of the union of the Lord Jesus and his people. He shall live. The Lord Jesus came from heaven to earth to live a life as a real man. You know, it was necessary, essential, vital for the salvation of his people that he lived a real life as a real man. The Lord Jesus had come. The Son of God had come in angel form and visited the earth. And testimony is given in the Word of God. But there must be more. The Church of God, men, women, boys and girls, their lives are ruined in sin. A perfect life is required, and they can't give it. They've ruined it from the day they took their first breath. They're born in sin, and they're shapen in iniquity. And if one could stop the sin and live without sin for the rest of our days, what about past offences? And we can't, by the way. But what about all the past offences? We need the life. The sinless, spotless life. A holy life. A pure life. And we haven't got one of our own. And he did live a life pure and holy. He took into union with his divine nature a holy human nature, body and soul. It's one of those fundamental things we most surely believe, that Jesus was a real man, God and man, the glorious God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ. And that life lived was for the benefit of his people. He was not bettered by it in any way. He came perfect. He ever was perfect. He ever will be perfect. But his church was imperfect. They were defiled in sin. And a life must be lived on their behalf. Lived for them. And we're told in our text this evening, and he shall live. And he lived a life before the people as a living witness of the work of God being worked out before them in their day and generation was a perfect life. And you can read through the life of Christ in the four Gospels. And friends, it is a perfect life. Thought and deed. No sin. All is pure and holy. And that's what's demanded. That's what God expects. And Jesus lived it for his people, that they might be with him forever. Because nothing that defileth can enter into heaven. And their wretched, ruined, sinful life must be made clean. And all the sin must be washed away. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so the Lord must lay his life down as a sacrifice. But the work isn't destroyed. Oh, this is the plan of salvation. The perfect life, the perfect sacrifice offered up as a holy sacrifice to God. And the suffering of our Lord Jesus came to an end on the cross at Calvary. And all the sin of the people whom he loved was put away forever. And all the punishment of their sin was laid on him and dealt with by him. He bore it all away, took it out of the way, to bring them out from under the curse of the law, to bring them into the liberty of the freeborn sons and daughters of God, to deliver them from all their sin and guilt and condemnation. He shall live, and he lived a perfect life and died a perfect death. Friends, what a miracle. What a miracle. You know, there is the death of Lazarus, and his resurrection was a miracle. But you know, the life of our Lord Jesus and his death and resurrection far outshines the miracle of Lazarus. When you think of all that Jesus did for poor, unworthy sinners, you know, not one sin was put away by the death of Lazarus. Not one soul was saved by the resurrection of Lazarus in and of itself. Oh, the Lord used the witness of the resurrection of Lazarus to turn the eyes to Jesus Christ, that they might view him and put their hopes in him. Lazarus's death did not save a soul. The death of Christ saved the church of God with an everlasting salvation. And he shall live. What a glorious life it was. All that was demanded by the law was met and answered. Everything that was expected of mankind by God, Christ delivered on it. Everything that should not be done, Christ didn't do. He resisted temptation. Oh, his perfect obedience. How full, how great, what was that life? And he shall live. And friends, that life is freely given. It was offered up freely at Calvary. And wrapped up and bound up with Jesus Christ in his life for all his people. And so they were bound up in his death. And they died with Christ. And when the Father viewed the sacrifice of his Son, what was it? He was well pleased. It was like that sweet-smelling savour ascending to heaven. Well, divine justice was satisfied. All the punishment was being taken away and dealt with by Jesus. And the perfect life offered on the altar of God, on the tree at Calvary. What a witness. We read it this evening. If I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men to me. What a wonderful witness. Friends, what a display of the love of God. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Does it draw you, poor sinner, this evening? Oh, to see the Lord Jesus at Calvary. There is a power in the cross of Christ. Oh, there is a power there at Calvary. Oh, the effect of that death. The shedding of the precious blood of Jesus. The laying down of his life, the willing obedience to go through with the agony of crucifixion, to die that agonizing death. But they said, we read in verse 33 of John 12, this he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And why is it then that he's lifted up on the above the earth to die the cursed death of crucifixion? If he lives forever. My friends, it was Jesus in the sinner's place. It behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. They must pass through death. He chose to pass through death first. You say, but surely all of those in the Old Testament days have already passed away through death. What do you mean he chose to pass through death first? Well, in this sense, his death, he was judged in his death. The God judged and God saw that all was good. When the Lord Jesus cried out, "It is finished," he knew it was. And in a voluntary act, he laid his life down. He chose to die. It wasn't the nails, the crown of thorns. He laid down his life. He gave up the ghost, the word of God tells us. It was a deliberate act. The work now finished, he must lay that life down. And what would God find? What would the Father find in the death of his Son? Would he remain in the grave? He said to the dying thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Their souls parted from their bodies. Disuniting of soul and body. And paradise awaited the soul, and the body is laid in the grave. But in this sense, the Lord Jesus is first. Because the third day he rose again. And his soul returned to that body in the tomb, and he rose bodily out of that tomb, and that triumphant resurrection, Christ the first fruits of the harvest, the first one reunited body and soul, now ascended into glory. The first born among many brethren. The whole church of God now lies awaiting the glorious resurrection day. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, it's certain. It's sure. Nothing is in doubt. The Lord Jesus has risen from the dead. A testimony is given that all is well for the church of God. They died with him. They rose again. And where he is, there they must be. And the Lord Jesus speaks of it in that well-known chapter 14. Beginning, "Let not your heart be troubled." He says this in verse 3, "And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And he shall live. And he did. And he is living. and he lives no more to die. He's passed through death. He's tasted death for every one of his poor, unworthy people. He's walked it. They will not walk that same path. They sleep in Jesus. That's what the death of a believer is. It's a blessed and sweet sleeping in Jesus. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. And friends, it is a joy and rejoicing of the heart when one is brought into some sense of that glorious resurrection of Jesus, and when something is known of the saving power of the death of Christ, the precious blood that he shed, the putting away of sin, the removal of guilt. But when the Lord is pleased to reveal this and give some sense of that pardon, that there's love flowing, and the love of the child of God flows in return to the Lord Jesus. And what is the language of that soul? What can I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Oh, they would give him the best of everything. Oh, and they bring their offering to him. And they are made willing to give their lives as a living sacrifice. And to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Nothing is kept back. Nothing is withheld. The love of Christ constrains. And they're made willing to take up their cross. They're made willing to declare publicly, openly that they follow Jesus. Prayer also shall be made for him continually. Oh, there's a continual need to call upon him, to cry for his help. Oh, there is communication with God pouring out of their heart, and there's a speaking with him as well as an asking for things. Friends, do we know something of this? You know that there is that, oh, there is those times when we pray to God and we ask him for help, we ask him for grace, we ask him for mercy, we ask him to deal with things for us, daily things, spiritual things. But there are times when the soul is brought to tell the Lord how they're feeling. They speak with him as a friend. They're in communication with him. They have union and communion with him. And their prayers rise as incense on the earth. And they gain access. They touch the hem of his garment. They find some virtue flowing. Oh, they feel a relief. They feel some comfort by unbosoming their cares. Maybe they haven't received the answer that they've asked for yet, but they've touched the hem of his garment. Something's done. Oh, there's some sweet feeling that the Lord knows and the Lord cares, while they wait for the particular answer. So there's that sense of sharing their burdens and casting them upon the Lord and finding him able to sustain them. And when they're called to carry the burden, they find he gives them grace to do. And he says to them, "My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." And how good it is for them to put their neck under the yoke and to learn of him. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it is when they're walking with Jesus, when they feel his presence. Oh, they say with the apostle, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Their prayer is made for him, made to him. They pour out his hearts. They need him. They pray for him. Lord, help me. Lord, be with me. Lord, leave me not. Forsake me not. Keep close, Lord. Hold me up. Keep me in all my going out and coming in. And daily shall he be praised. Oh, reasons are given daily to rejoice, to worship God, to praise and thank him for all his mercy. Oh, sometimes there's this sense of sin. Sometimes there's a sense of their fresh sin. Sometimes they're left at times to wander, but daily, oh, there's that finding him faithful. Oh, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's everlasting love, an unchanging love. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And they feel they deserve to be consumed. Maybe they've returned to some former sin. They've been neglectful, slothful in the way. They've turned aside. They've been turned aside by a besetting sin. The Lord smiles. The Lord reveals his smiling face. It breaks them more than the rod on their back would do. Oh, when they find a loving heavenly friend, not dealing with them as they know they deserve to be dealt with. How it breaks the heart. It melts them in love and adoration. Oh, the merciful dealings of a merciful God who lives, who reigns, who lives for them now in heaven above, and he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. You know, my mind just for a few moments goes to those wise men. And you know, friends, what lengths they went to. You think of that revelation they had of seeing that star in the east, and they came all that way at great cost to worship the king. And they came to that town, that little town of Bethlehem, having taken their eye off the star and gone to Jerusalem. They're now led again by the star to right where the Lord Jesus lies, and there he is, a babe in that house. And you know, they come where that young child is. And they've come all that way at great cost and personal sacrifice. And they bring their gifts and they worship him. And they're not disappointed. Oh, that they're not disappointed with what they find. But they bow and worship him. And they bring their gifts, gold, frankincense and myrrh. And friends, poor sinners are still being brought to Jesus Christ. Oh, being persuaded that they too will be received, that they too will gain access, that they too will fall at his feet and worship him and crown him Lord of all. And they find him all that they need, that they're not disappointed, that they find him all that they need, an all-sufficient Saviour, one who meets every need, whose grace and mercy and love know no end. And he shall live, and to him shall be given the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. May God add his blessing. Amen. We will close the worship of God here today by singing hymn 965. And the tune is Austria 625. Tell us, O our best beloved, where thou feed'st thy tender flock, where they rest at noon, discover, shelter us beneath that rock. Let no idle air divide us from thee, Lord, in whom we live. By thy loving counsel guide us, and our souls at last receive. Hymn 965. Thank you. may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.